Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, we've got maybe 23, 25 minutes, so we're going to really jump in here. If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And if you'd be so kind, if you have a cell phone, if you'd put it on mute or vibrate, that would help. And if you have a timer on, please don't let it go off. We have enough beeping going on. And if you have hearing aids, please adjust them now so they're not beeping later. And so there it was. Heard about this large man. And he was going through the checkout counter. And about that time, I'll tell you about it later. So here we are. So his hearing aid went off, and it just went beep, beep, beep. And this little boy said, "Watch out, Daddy's backing up." And so you'll get that later. So here we are, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. I'm going to speak on this subject for a little while. And here's the subject: building a godly family. Building a godly family. It's baby dedication. We're thinking of babies. We're thinking of married couples. It's not God's plan for everyone to marry, but everyone is a part of someone's family. If there's been any institution under attack in our lifetime, it's been the family. From the attack in the public schools, from the attack to liberal media, from the attack of abortion, from the attack, and you just name it, drugs and alcohol and pornography. I mean, there is, it's the family under attack. I hate to tell you this, it's Sunday morning. I'll try to encourage you in a moment, but everyone in this room, you have a sight on you. And it's a sight from hell. And it is Satan that would love to destroy your marriage. If you're married now, next year his goal is for you to be divorced. And the kids taking sides. If you're single, it's for you to mess up morally. If you're a young person, it's for him to destroy your life by following some psycho dare on TikTok or trying some drugs for the first time and it takes your life. He's got a sight on every one of us. He hates the family because the family is what builds churches. The church is what saves a nation. Nations are built on families. It's the family under attack. So we're going to look in Genesis 3 at the perfect environment. Here's two perfect people. You said, "Well, I thought there's just one perfect person, Pastor. The husband my wife could have married." No. You'll get it later. But two perfect people, Adam and Eve, in a perfect environment. There was no sin. There was no death. So what a place to live. And guess who was their friend? God walked with them in the garden every day. They had the right crowd. They had the right environment. They had the right place. I mean, what a place. They had it made. If anyone should have made it, it should have been Adam and Eve. All they had to do was pick fruit off the tree and lay in a hammock all day. What a life. They were retired and they were never born. Long story. So let's just look at the story here. I've got several points. I got to get you out of here. I know some of you are heading to Santa Clara for the tailgate party, and I'm not going. The New Orleans, they wouldn't let the Saints play this year in the playoffs. And so I am just not going. I'm still upset about that. And so Genesis chapter 3, I want to give you this here. Here we go, Genesis 3. Well, let's have a prayer, and then we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, we dedicate this message to Thee. Give us something to help us. And help no one to tune out and say, "Well, I'm not married." And tune out, "Well, I don't have kids." Or, "I don't have kids at the house anymore." We're all under attack. Help us learn something and see why we're struggling in our marriages. And see what the struggle is in our home. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in high gear, so listen fast. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, that's point number one, the serpent. And it's not that just serpents are evil, though I think they all are. The only good snake is a dead snake, in my opinion. But so here it is. Satan inhabited this serpent. So it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, notice how he works. He goes to the follower. He doesn't go to the leader. He goes to the follower. He comes to the woman, and it says, and he said unto the woman, this is Satan inside of the snake in the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God said? He comes questioning God's word. Satan, that's part of his temptation. He questions, is the Bible really true? Is there really a God? Is there really a heaven and a hell? Is there an eternity? Did Jesus really die on a cross and resurrect 3 days later? Is this really true? Did these miracles really happen? And so in the garden, he questions God's word. He still questions it today. And let me encourage you. If you have not yet settled in your heart that the Bible is true from cover to cover, you need to settle that. Investigate. Read the word of God. Ask questions. You got to figure out, is this Bible true? Is it worth building my life on? Is it worth teaching it to my kids? You got to figure that thing out. He says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So what's he do? He points out the one tree they were not supposed to eat of. We would call that the forbidden fruit. Satan always does that. Well, you're married, but how about her? I know you're married, but what about him? I know you got rules, but how about breaking the rules? How about crossing the line? The forbidden fruit has always made us look good. And it's like, man, maybe I'd be happy if I just had that. So Satan points out a lack of freedom. He says, you're not free until you do this. And so we keep seeing, how does he attack this family? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent saith unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He lied to her. Let me ask you a question. Who's lying to you? Who have you been listening to? You've been listening to someone on television? You've been listening to someone on a daytime television show? You've been listening to someone sing music in your ears? What lie is Satan using someone else to get in your head? Is it a friend that's telling you, well, you'll be popular if you do this? Is it a friend that's telling you to lie to your parents and hide something from your parents? Who is it you've been listening to? Is it someone at work? Is it a godly person? Is it an ungodly person? How is their advice working for them? So she was listening to the devil, and he lies. He says, you're not going to die. By the way, he's a liar and the father of it. The devil lies. He tempts us to do something, and then he accuses us after we do it and tell us how no good we are. I must hasten. I got 17 minutes. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what he's saying now, he's blaming God. He's saying, hey, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, he would want you to eat this fruit. Now let me just say this. During valley times, it's easy to question the love of God. If you're here today and you're going through some trials and some dark valleys and some pain and problems, Satan always whispers, where's your God? I thought he loved you. If he loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. Be careful during the valleys. Be careful during those times, because he's telling her, if he loved you, he'd give you freedom to eat whatever you wanted to eat. He was lying. Then he says, he knows if you eat it, you'll be as God, or here's the big lie Satan has told us for thousands of years. You can be your own God. He's God, but you can be your own God. You decide. You make your own decisions. You make the rules. You be in charge of your life. That's the big lie Satan has told to the world for generations. You can be your own God. Hey, men, some of us can't even find our car keys. You think we're going to be our own God? I'm going to be in charge. No one's going to tell me what to do. You know, God's smarter than you and I, and he has something to tell us. And so here's all this temptation, and here's what's going on here. And then number two, let's look at this for a moment. We see the sin. So where's the sin? Verse 6. One verse plunges the entire human race into hell. Look at this. Verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Let me encourage you. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you look at. If you can't afford it, don't watch the commercial. If you don't have the money, don't go window shopping in the mall. Don't be surfing the net if you can't pay for the surfboard. That ain't even funny. All right. Be careful. Be careful looking at the beer ads. Be careful looking at the liquor ads if you're not going to drink. Be careful watching the gambling if you're not going to gamble. Be careful. There's all these things. If you watch it, you're going to want it. Be careful, young men, looking at pornography. Be careful as you're flipping through things on the phone. Be careful, young people, of people sending you pictures on your phone of trash and immoral things. Be careful. She said, I saw it. When she saw it was good for food, that the tree was good, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof. Some of you right now, you got it right in your hand. You've seen some sin, and you've taken it, and you just got to have it. It's going to make you happy, and it's your choice, and you have it in your hand. Let me tell you this. Put it back. Put it back. Don't take a bite. Put it back. Years ago, the record album for the Beatles, they took an apple and took a bite out of it. It was Apple Music. Then Steve Jobs popularized it, the apple with the bite taken out of it. And that's the picture of the whole human race. She saw it. She took it. Then the Bible says she ate it. And guess what she did? And then she shared it. She gave it to her husband. People don't usually sin alone. They pass it to someone else. They contaminate someone else. They wreck someone else's life. People don't just get on drugs by themselves. Usually they're going to share it with someone else. They're going to party with someone else. They're going to teach someone else. Be careful. No man's an island. We affect others. It's all these dominoes. We're going to destroy someone. Be careful what you choose. It's just a cigarette. It's just a beer. It's just a pornography. It's just a lie. It's just a little stealing. Whatever the sin is, it'll destroy you and others. We see the serpent. We see quickly the sorrow. The sin. Now the sorrow. Notice how it goes downhill. You say, Pastor, you're so negative. Come on now. I go to Little Caesar's Pizza and they say, give us your money. I go to the doctor. He says, step on the scales. And he says, one at a time, please. Hey. I talk to the doctor. He says, you need to lose weight. You need to stop eating there. Hey. You know, we let people tell us things. You watch that 49er game today, and it's going to be a coach on the sideline, grab some players, look in their face. Ah, Dombrowski. And he's going to say, thanks, coach. Why? They're trying to get a Super Bowl ring. Let the guy yell at you. He's pulling for you. Come to church every once in a while. Let the preacher step on your toes, kick in the rear a little bit, and yell at you. We're trying to keep you from destroying your family. We're trying to keep you from going to divorce court. We're trying to keep you from having to visit your kids in juvenile hall or early funeral. That's what we're trying. So she shared with the husband, and notice where it ended up going. It said, she gave to her husband with her. Verse 7, and the eyes in them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, you men that cook, you know what an apron is. I've got one that's got crawfish on it. I'll put it on about once a year maybe. My wife's got all kind of aprons. You tie them in the back. They look almost modest in the front. When you turn around in the back, they're not real modest. And I'm not turning around. So in Adam and Eve's opinion, we're naked. Let's put on an apron. Wasn't much. Our idea of modesty is different than his idea of modesty. So what'd they do? They sinned. They covered. See, something happened. When the first sin took place, people covered it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You'll not prosper physically, emotionally, or spiritually. God will not bless a person who's covering their sin. Now, you confess it, and God will bless you. So they covered it. What else did they do? We must hasten. I got to get to the point. They sewed fig leaves, made themselves aprons. Verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. Now think for a second. Here's God that made everything, that sees everything. They're hiding from him? Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? They're hiding from God. God says, where art thou, Adam? There was a pastor acquaintance of mine. And a lady that came to the church, her husband was not a Christian. She said, please stop by my house and try to get my husband saved. Give him the gospel, pastor. He said, okay. So he dropped by the house, didn't announce it, knocked on the door. And the wife opened the door and said, he's going that way. The husband saw the pastor pull up and ran through the house. Get him, pastor. The pastor starts running through the house, and the guy runs into the garage, and the light goes off. It's a true story. Pastor opened the garage door and he said, come out, come out. Wherever you are, where are you? And he turned on the light and he saw that man's feet sticking out behind the freezer. And he stood up and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, pastor. He said, just checking, make sure this was plugged in. Who you running from? You can run, but you can't hide. You can cover in a drink. You can cover in a drug. You can cover in success. Well, just another buck, and I'll be happy. Just another high, and I'll be happy. Just another relationship, and I'll be happy. And God says, where are you? You see, listen. Nothing satisfies. No forbidden fruit satisfies the emptiness that's created when we break our relationship with God. We were made not to just make money, not to just be popular, not just to have friends. We were made to spend time with the one that created us. That's what fills the emptiness in our heart. And your whole life you'll be chasing it if you don't get that relationship with him. And it starts by salvation, accepting him as your Savior. And then it's learning more and more about him and his word. He's the greatest friend you have. I must hasten. We've got about 7 minutes. Notice what he says here a little further. He says, where were you? Verse 10, they said, we heard your voice in the garden and was afraid. You know, there's some people that are just fearful all the time. You know why? They're fearful they're going to get caught. They're doing something they shouldn't be. By the way, years ago, we had a teenager in the teen group. And I was just visiting house to house. This real worldly, very, very outgoing. Maybe she's just a cheerleader or something. I don't know. But I knocked on the door and this teenage girl was home. And she goes, I was out partying last night. We were out getting drunk and getting high last night. It was me and five guys. I said, really? Well, you sound real proud. Why don't you name them? She named the guys she was with and named one of the guys in our church teen group. And I had to verify it. He about that tall and about that and this and that. And he's got a relative name. Yeah, that was him. I said, and he was drinking, and he was drunk. Yeah. I said, thanks for the info. So I came to our teen group, and I was speaking that night. He happened to be sitting over here, and I just walked up to him, and I said, hey, shake my hand here. I met Rachel yesterday. She said y'all had a real good time this weekend. I'm telling your parents. And as soon as I did that, I thought he was going to have a heart attack right there in his seat. All the blood left his face. Why? He got caught. The greatest pillow is a clear conscience. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I have nothing to hide. It's just you and me. No sin covered. Nothing I desire more than you. And that's what we were made for. I'm almost finished, folks. I don't like all the yelling, okay? Never go to a football game. Never go to a basketball game. Never go to a hockey game. Or we're going to show up in your house and say, hypocrite. Some of you are going to come back tonight all hoarse because you were cheering for Dallas or cheering for the 49ers. And we're going to know. It's okay. And I'll be hollering and cheering too. So we see the serpent. We see the sin. We see the sorrow. Notice what happens. He catches him. He says, who told you you were naked? Look at this. Verse number 12. And the man said, the woman. There it is, ladies. See, it's all your fault. That's what Adam said. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Verse 12. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. Now look. You know, it is natural for all of us to blame shift. God says, Adam, did you eat that fruit? God, I never asked to be married. I never asked for this woman. It's your fault, God. You gave her to me. We two be one. We were doing good before she showed up. He's blaming. Now, let me encourage you. In a crowd this size, there's people, you've grown up your whole life, you've learned to blame. Stop playing the blame game. It's not your race. It's not the side of the tracks you were born on. It's not having a dad in the home. It's not how you were spanked enough or spanked too much. It's not that you didn't get an A, you didn't get a participation trophy when you joined the school team. It's none of that. It's you. You sinned because you made a choice. You made some deal with the devil. It's you. Stop blaming everybody else. What it needs to be is, Lord, I have sinned. I had a choice. I didn't have to take it from her. It was me. I'm sorry. The blame. God looks at Eve and says, Eve. She said, the serpent. See all the blame that goes from there. We have to hurry up and end on a good note. We're getting there. So how's it? Keep going. Look at this. Notice what this sin does, this curse. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly, verse 16, multiply thy sorrow and conception and childbirth. So ladies, any of you that hurt, not any, but all of you, that hurt during childbirth, you can blame sin. Not yours, but Adam and Eve. Yeah. God says, because this happened, women, you're going to have a lot of pain when you give birth. It's part of the curse. And then he says, hey, men, your job's going to be hard. By the sweat of your brow, it's not going to be easy to make money. It's going to be hard. And then two other things are mentioned. You can look at it later. And then God says, and to Eve, your desire will be over or to him. You're going to want to boss him around. That's a part of the curse. You're not going to want to follow. You have to have one chief, one Indian in every home. Doesn't mean the man's smarter. Doesn't mean the man's stronger. Doesn't mean the man's got better intellect. But in every family, there's got to be one leader. This stuff of two leaders, 50-50, it doesn't work. You have to have a leader. They have to have a leader. Leader means lead her. But he says, naturally, women, the curse is, you're not going to want to follow. When I counsel engaged couples and they say, Pastor, will you do our wedding? I'll always say this. 1 year after you're married, and I look at the man, you'll be less than a man because of her. Or you will be a man in spite of her. It's a part of the curse. That comes natural. Then here's the other part. This is bad too. A part of the curse, it says, and he, the husband, shall rule over thee. What's that mean? It means it'll be natural for a man not to be loving. Hey, woman, get me food. Hey, woman, clean the house. What? Could it be like, please? Could it be like, take me out on a date? Could it be kind? Could it be some I love yous? Where's the gentleness there? Woman, me Tarzan, you Jane. And then she says, and you smell like cheetah. Yeah, it's... That's all a part of the curse. So you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Naturally, it is a mess in a marriage and trying to raise kids. And that's why we need God. You cannot have a great marriage apart from having a great relationship with God. Impossible to raise any kind of decent kids today on your own without God. And I'll just give you this free. I'm coming down for a landing. You put them in public school 40 hours a week where there's no God, and you're laughed at, and church is laughed at, and the Bible's laughed at. You put them in public school 40 hours a week, then bring them to church for 1 hour a week. We don't have a lot of chance. Unless you're teaching that Bible at home 7 nights a week in your own home. You've got to have instruction at your house if you're a parent. You've got to be teaching. You've got to be training all the time. That's not the pastor's job. That's your job. I got 5 kids. God told me to train those 5, not all yours. I can holler at them. I can preach the word of God, try to guide them, try to encourage you Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But the rest of the week, they live in your house. So how's it all end up here? In verse number 15, God promises the Savior. Adam and Eve, you've sinned. You've broken God's heart. You're covering up with fig leaves, and God's going to run you out of the garden. But is there any hope? He looks at the snake and says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Hang on. When Scripture talks about seed, it always talks about the man fathering the child, being the father. Here, it talks about the woman having the seed. It's the first prophecy of the virgin birth. He looks at Eve and says, one day a woman's going to have a woman that's going to have a woman, and there's going to be a woman that has the Son of God, the Savior. It's a promise. The Savior's coming. God says, doesn't matter what you've done, I've got long hands. I can reach down, and I can save you. So here's how it works. Then it talks about the coat. God makes a coat. Brother Brett, can you help me just for a second? Then God says that he made a coat of skins. So here's what happens. Okay, Brett will be, let me see, you want him to be Adam or Eve or transitioning? What do you want him to be? No, I'm just kidding. He said, I'm Adam. All right, Brett. Okay, so Adam is in fig leaves, okay? Why don't you just use that? We don't have time to sew fig leaves together, so there he is. He looks pretty modest. Don't even try to fathom it in your mind. But can you imagine? Yeah, so here's Adam and Eve. They got leaves all over them. Maybe Eve looked at Adam and said, hey, do like a tree. Leave me alone. Oh, that's deep. Okay, so here he is. He's covered in fig leaves. That's not enough. That looks strange. God says, you know, that's your answer. See, one way to heaven, and it's God's way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What's he saying? Nothing you do can cover your sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. So the first blood that was ever shed and mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 3, God killed an innocent animal and made coats of skin to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And this is the actual one. Not going to tell you who pastor's house coat that is. See the cigarette stain right there? It's my wife's. So notice, God killed an innocent animal to cover their sin. He let an innocent Jesus shed his blood so he could cover our sins. Why? So now we can have a relationship again with God. Sin is gone. It's all covered by his blood. Let me ask you a question. Has he been tempting you? That old serpent, what's he been trying to get you to take? Pastor, I've gone past that. I've taken it. And I've enjoyed the sin for a season. Put it back quick as you can. The reaping's still going to come. Stop sharing it with somebody else. That's what gangs do. The reason there are gangs is they feel less guilt because they're doing crimes in a group. Stop sharing it. Stop covering it. Stop hiding from him and accept his forgiveness. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he loves you. Guess what he's doing? He's in pursuit. He's looking. He's looking for you. Let him find you today. Accept him into your heart today. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. You'll be glad that you did. Thank you for listening well today. We'll have a prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. I want my jacket back, though. Here. I do want my jacket back. So, I didn't even know that would fit you. I'm kind of surprised. Good. Thank you so much. So.